It is 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks. Jackson here, and joining me in studio, Tooch, who's a Philadelphia native, and Corey Taylor from Stone Sour, who are going to be at the BB&T tonight. So welcome, gents.
Dude, it's good to be here, man.
Yeah, we could talk about a lot of things, man. You're an interesting cat. You got the books. You got four books.
Yeah.
You know, bestsellers. You got Slipknot. You got Stone Sour. By the way, if you haven't read any of Corey's books.
Horrible. Don't.
No, they're awesome,
don't
dude.
Don't read. You know what? And I just realized what I forgot. I was going to bring you a copy of my new book.
Oh, see, I was going to ask you about the new book.
Yeah, I was going to bring it to you.
I actually tried to order it, and you can't get it till like August 8th. You can pre-order
I got a couple advanced copies. Yeah. I look just as horrible on the cover of that one as I do the other ones. However, there are a lot of big words in it. So
well, they're highly entertaining. You always have the best stories. They're comical. And I like to say, you know, you're always saying, I think, what I'm thinking.
Yeah?
I think you're saying what a lot of people are saying.
So you have the same issues I do. Good to know I'm not alone in this.
I also got the greatest insult on planet Earth out of one of your books. It was douche pickle soaked in toilet water. which I call my producer on occasion. She goes, where did you come up with that? It's in one of Corey Taylor's books.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know what?
Yeah.
You had it coming, apparently. I can't, you know. I'm not going to excuse it.
Right.
Look,
so speaking of douche pickles.
Oh, here we go. If you're going where I think you're going.
I want to talk about your bromance with Chad Kroeger.
Oh, come on. We're trying to let it die.
I know you are. And I said, I guarantee you he wants this to go away. But I'm going to ask anyway.
Because
there was like a big F Nickelback chant. At one of your shows,
it's
recently?
Been like the last four shows.
It's every show,
it was in Canada yesterday.
Oh,
Toronto,
see, and that's where they're from.
Stomping grounds. Right. I was like, maybe they're gonna come at us with some pushback.
Yeah.
They were the loudest chant.
Yeah, it was funny. We were losing our minds. It was like, cool, this is obviously now something they've been holding on to.
I know when I first read it, I thought, this is a joke, right? Is this satire? What is this? He called Stone Sour like Nickelback Light or something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing. I was like, you're kidding, right?
He said lots of nice things.
He did. He really had nothing but complimentary.
Wow.
I remember my first beer, too.
It was
really good. What an idiot.
Yeah, it blows me away, really.
You know what, though? I mean, that just tells you the level of ego you're dealing with.
Yeah.
You know? And I've said this since day one. It's not the band. Because the band turned around. As soon as that hit, and that story hit, the band called and apologized.
Yeah.
They're like, it's not us. We promise.
It's Chad.
It's this guy. And I was like, and I'd hung out with the band before. Mm. And they're super cool dudes. You know? So I was like, well, I figure it wasn't them, but... So I don't want people holding it against the band because it's not them, you know? It's, you know, Captain
was there a
Ego
beef
from
prior to that,
Planet
or was...
Douche.
See, there you go. Was there any sort of beef prior to that or just kind of came out of thin air?
No, not really.
That's what's weird.
I mean, I said something maybe like 15 years ago, but I was drinking then.
Yeah,
nobody listened to me then, you know? And I hadn't said anything since.
Right.
I don't even think about him, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think about you anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
For real. This came so far out of left field that I woke up to everyone like blowing me up. And I was like, really? Seriously, I
didn't
know.
It's probably one of those
say.
Things he's been sitting on for years, stewing. Like, it's been bugging him forever.
Well, if I was married to her, I'd probably be sitting on something, too.
Is he still married to, is it Avril? Still married to her?
You know, we can only hope.
Yeah. Skater.
You don't want to use any of this.
Cut all this
none
out.
None of this is usable. I hope you're having fun. You can't use
Let's get down to the record.
I'm going to turn this into Morse code by starting swearing.
Let's talk about the new record. Then.
Yes, please.
Let's talk about the new record. So I've had it in my car for a few days because I got a digital download, but it's on a burned CD because it digitally downloaded it. Because
you're our age.
Yeah. And so I just got the track listing. I was just like, cut 7, kicks ass. Cut 6, is rocking. I'm like, wait a second. I told my
don't we all do that though? Like the first week and a half, we have an out like a CD. We're like, track 8 is awesome.
Right.
And then we finally pull the case out again, and we're like, it's called that.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's what I've been doing, and I finally got the track listing today. And I knew song 3 because we play that.
Yeah.
Which let's talk about that one first.
You mean track 5?
Track 5. It is track 5. Very good. is you said that, and I think in a Rolling Stone interview that there were two kinds of love songs.
Yes.
Right? And this was the third.
This is so the, expand yeah, the third.
On that. Yeah.
It's also the reason it's called song number three is because it is made up of two different songs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'd written. This is true. This is a true story. The verses are from one song, the chorus is from another.
Right.
And for some reason, I did some simple algebraic conclusions, and I said, oh, these work together.
Yeah.
So one, two, three.
Uh-huh.
Song number three. There you go.
So two meanings. That's pretty cool. That's pretty
cool. I did
not
know that.
There's a third meaning.
Tooch, you learn something new every day, don't you? See?
Yeah, see?
Every day.
See, he's going to tell me some stuff about Philly.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to forget. Yeah.
Well, my world is full of surprises.
Nothing is real anymore.
He can show you around Philly. I'm not going to guarantee you're
going to get out of Philly. We passed the Rocky statue. That's all I cared about.
That was it.
I love the fact that there was a longer line at the Rocky statue than the actual art museum.
Yeah.
That's now, America.
Did you see people
That's
running
America
up and down
right
the stairs? They do it all
Dude,
day.
They're
every
all
day.
Like posing.
Yes, all
it
day,
was
every day.
Sad.
Yeah.
I love
but you want to do it.
I love that there's a gate around
right.
it. There's no gate around the museum,
right,
there's a gate around that statue.
Oh, yeah.
That makes me happy and sad at the same time.
Right.
I was at the Spectrum for a long time.
Yeah.
On
yeah.
the front steps of the Spectrum.
And you were saying you would always wanted to play there, right?
There was a big blowback when they put it by the art museum because the art snobs were like, that's not art. That's not art. You can't put this near the art museum.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
That is art.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look how beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like the Thinker stood up.
Yeah.
That's right.
I don't know what I just said. I apologize.
So the next song on that record, Fabulous, which I love.
Yeah,
I was like, this is where the record started. I was like, oh, yeah, this kicks ass. This is good. And I had no idea until I started reading about it. And it was this is kind of like the F you to the social media stars.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
And I got to thinking about that, and it was like, we're probably about the same age. If you go back, Paris Hilton was like the first one. Wouldn't she say she was
I
like
would
the,
say her and, yeah,
the
and
first
Nicole
social
Richie.
Media. Yes.
Yeah.
Right? Because that was like the first reality show.
Well, that was the first one that really blew up. Like
yeah.
when that format started, it was the Real World on MTV, and it was fascinating.
Right,
it was
like these
people who weren't actors, they weren't this, they weren't that. They were living like nobody had really ever seen anything like it.
Yeah.
You know, and then it just got progressively dumber.
Yeah.
It's like let's take these rich people who don't know how to tie their own shoes.
Yeah.
And stick them in rural America.
It
it's
like,
oh, that's a car
effed on
crash.
Camera too. It was like that was what that's, and it was like, this is what you're famous for.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Then Kim Kardashian banged some rapper on camera.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, she's and look
she's
at her.
She's got
now.
An empire.
Look at her now.
Now what, she won't like, even have her own kids.
Like, what did you do?
Her and Kanye have surrogates now.
It's like, you know,
really?
When we were younger, I mean, you know, even famous,
we did it the old fashioned way.
Right.
But I mean, even famous people you didn't like earned their celebrity.
Yeah, they had a talent
somewhere or another.
They did something. They did something to become famous.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't
know.
Now
all you have to do is say, Cash Me Outside on Dr.
Yeah,
Phil.
Yeah, which is ridiculous, isn't it? That chick.
That makes me want to stab myself in the face.
I want to punch her in the nose before I stab myself in the face, though.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah. And she's fine. Isn't she doing something? They're like trying to.
Oh, I'm sure she's doing something.
Yeah. Well, they keep trying to bring her back. They keep trying to stretch that out as long as they can. I'm like, you got to be kidding me,
I'm
man.
I'm not touching that one.
Yeah. What? I'm horrible. I'm a horrible person.
Yeah. We know.
I don't know why you guys thought it was a good idea. I'm an ass.
So what's the deal with Slipknot? On hiatus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for how long? Is this going to be like a Tool
thing?
Well,
they don't call it low hiatus.
Right.
It's high. Hiatus. We ain't coming back for a while.
Couple
it's
years? What do you say?
You can use that one, too. That was pretty good.
Good.
That's a good one.
No, yeah, man. I mean, I'm doing this for the next year and a half at least, you know? Like, I won't even start thinking about new Slipknot stuff for probably another year or so.
Right.
Everybody else is enjoying their time off, man. Because when we tour, it's honestly like being enlisted, and it's like being overseas, abroad. Like you do it, it's just like this, you know. So I think everybody's really enjoying their time. I obviously am a masochist, so I don't enjoy time off at all.
Right. Yeah, you couldn't tell. But
no, you couldn't. No. In fact, if anybody's looking for to hire me for something, please do, because obviously I just detest sleep.
Right.
No, I mean, but yeah, I mean, it's when the time comes, it'll be time to do it. You know, I'm starting to jot some stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
We were just before we split, we were talking about like maybe possibly what we would do.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, that's about it.
With the Stone Sour and the Slipknot, you know, one's clearly kind of delving into that rage and that it's very, very aggressive. The other one's a little more approachable as far as like radio play and stuff like that. Yeah. Do you ever find, although I find this new one's pretty aggressive, this new Stone Sour record, I like it a lot, man.
It's aggressive.
It's got a friggin' edge. No, it does. And I'm just wondering if they ever bleed into each other. You ever find yourself like,
no, I'm pretty good. It comes pretty naturally to delineate both of them and keep one here and one here. And when I'm writing something, I know instinctively whether it's one or the other.
Yeah.
So that makes it really easy for me. Like I'm not like having to choose and just like, well, I'll use this for that and that's. I know right out of the gate that it's one is one and the other is the other.
Right.
So, but I mean, we want to talk to you about our new band.
Okay.
It's called Bunk Sock.
It's called what?
Bunk Sock.
Bunk Sock?
Yes.
I think I know where you're going with this.
I don't think you do.
Tell me more.
First of all, we play nothing but hits.
Right.
Second of all, we don't wear a lot of clothing.
Right.
But the clothing we do wear is shiny and spandex.
Okay.
And God, we look hot. I'm not going to lie to you. Too pretty.
Yeah. Hooters covers? What is it?
We haven't figured that out. Oh, we haven't written any music.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. Not one stick of music has been written.
This is just a conversation.
This is a conversation.
About a conversation.
I want you to talk to Tooch, because I want Tooch's voice out over the air.
Yeah, say hello to Philadelphia, man. Welcome home.
How you doing, Philly?
Yeah.
There you go. It's good to be back.
Yeah? How are things going on the road for you, man?
I love it, man.
Yeah.
Keeping
busy.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't see how you can have a lousy time doing this sort of thing.
Yeah.
You haven't met certain people.
Well, actually, I have.
You have.
And I wonder, like, what's wrong with you, man? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Every kid, I don't think there's a kid on the planet that didn't at some point in their childhood dream of growing up to be a rock star.
Well,
every kid has that dream.
It's like with me, as soon as I got that Kiss Alive 2 album, I opened it up and I saw the picture on the inside. I pointed at Ace Frehley. I never went off that path, you know? Took a while, but, you know.
That's pretty cool.
I wanted to be Snake Plissken when I was young.
Yeah. I don't
try to find ways to lose an eye.
Right, okay. And
there's no cool way to lose an eye.
Well, I wanted to be the Incredible Hulk the Ace Frehley was a little bit more.
Tooch Ferrigno.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of people that might not be too happy. And I just want to briefly touch on this. Yeah, no, we're going to bring it down here. I'm going to totally bum you out for just a second. Because this is something you've been pretty open about in your books and interviews and stuff. It's like you've dealt with your dark stuff and battled your demons over your life. And you've come through and you talk about the light being at the end of the tunnel. And it's always better on the other side. What do you say to people, you know, with the Chester Bennington thing and the Chris Cornell thing? It's just like, I can't even fathom looking from the outside in what they must have been going through to go that far. And
it's a shame.
Yeah.
You know, and I knew Chris, but I was friends with Chester.
Right.
You know, like we kind of came up together.
Yeah.
You know, we both kind of came up at the same time. We both had incredible success.
Mm.
In the last couple of years, we actually got really close, man.
Yeah.
Did some gigs together, did some cool Kings of Chaos stuff together, man. Yeah. We really hit it off. That's when he played me the stuff for this new album,
right.
One More Light.
Yeah.
And he was so stoked about it, and I was very encouraging. I was like, man, yeah, absolutely. Like, try something, you know? And when he got that blowback, I was the first one to be like, no, keep going, you know? Like, settle down, but do what you want to do,
right.
You know? Like, the fans will be there, you know? It takes a second. And we really were talking, and I had just talked to him a couple weeks ago. So, this came out of nowhere for me. Like, it really, and it's hit, I know it's hit his family or the band, like, it's insane.
It
and I know how that feels.
So,
you know?
Unexpected, so out of left field, like, with Chris Cornell, and then, you know, following that, it was like, really, what is going on here, man? It's like...
We're actually talking to a bunch of people, and we're trying to get a pretty unified message out there that if you're feeling that... There is there's this thing called the National Suicide Prevention Hotline or Lifeline, and I can't remember the number right off the
top
of my head.
I think we actually have it posted in our studio.
Yeah,
we
it's like 1-800.
Yeah, and there's a text 273
talk or something like that. Yeah, it's You look that up, and it's basically it's that chain of crisis centers that handles stuff like that. There's also a great organization that works with teenagers called You Cannot Be Replaced.
Right.
There's also the You Rock Foundation.
Yeah.
I am trying to encourage as many people as possible, if you're feeling that, never, ever settle on the fact that you are alone because you are not. It is important. Like, even if it's someone you don't know, talk.
Yeah.
Get it out. You have to press that valve, and you have to get some of that pressure out, you know? So, yeah, I'm doing my best because you know how things like this happen, man. Yeah. It's a slippery slope.
You know, I'm just speculating, but I'm not a huge fan of medication either. Like when people are experiencing
dark times. If it works,
times,
it works.
Right.
But if it doesn't, it doesn't.
And then when
there's
they
no
start
universe,
piling it
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like,
because,
you know.
You start chasing side effects.
Yes, right.
And
they're like,
hard,
oh, you can't
man.
Sleep. Well, we'll give you this, too. Yep. Oh, well, now you're having trouble, you know, staying awake. So we're going to give you the. And it's like, you know, you get four
now
and five.
Now you're exacerbating a situation that was already difficult to deal with in the first place.
Oh. And that goes all the way back to, like, Elvis Presley.
Yeah, sure.
Exactly.
Right.
It's been happening.
It's been around forever.
A long time. It's taken out a lot of people.
Yeah. So and it's a shame, man. You know, I've been encouraging his fans to remember the stuff that they loved about him, you know. It's like it's a tragedy.
Yeah.
But don't let this color the goodness
right.
that you took from it, the hope, the positivity.
Yeah.
You know, he fought it
yeah.
with everything he had.
Yeah.
You know, and if that helps you continue the fight, do it.
Right.
You know, and we're all here and we can all relate, you know.
I still and it, you know, it's for me, flashbacks of like I was working in radio when, and tell you how old I am, when the Kurt Cobain story came over the wire.
Oh, yeah,
this
yeah,
is back
yeah.
when there was an AP wire. You know, you had the little printer, it was like chick, 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 chick. And you'd hear a story coming over, and you go and you rip it, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
No.
That was a heavy day, man.
Yeah, it was a really heavy day.
Yeah.
Well, let's brighten things up. Let's talk about the new book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because that's going to brighten
August 8th. Vanilla, here's my question. If I've learned one thing in media, it's there, if you want to be friends with everybody, steer clear of politics and steer clear of religion.
You ain't kidding.
And you went head first.
Oh,
in this
I,
new
went,
one, right?
I went. Well, I won't keep up with the beeps, but
right.
yeah, I went pretty deep in it.
Yeah.
Let's just say this is the first and last book I'll ever write about politics because
right.
it's exhausting.
Yeah.
You know, it helped me figure out where I'm at. You know, because. Until you really sit down and figure out what you believe and why you believe it, you're kind of all over the page, you know? And that's one of the reasons why so many people are lost in the middle right now.
Yeah.
Because there are so many zealots on the outsides, on both sides, screaming over the top of everyone else that nobody can figure out where to focus.
Yeah.
Nobody can figure out, and it's overwhelming them to the point where they don't know what they believe.
Mm.
They don't know what they stand for. They don't know what they want.
Right.
And this book hopefully is a way to shut both those ridiculous groups up and get people to realize that, oh, yeah, by the way, you are all in the middle.
Yeah.
The majority of Americans, I would say 90% of Americans,
yeah.
are all in the middle.
Yeah.
They may be socially liberal, but they're also fiscally conservative. And
right.
there's absolutely nothing wrong with
right.
that. This country was founded on the fact that you can find common ground and you can compromise. And unfortunately, right now in our culture, socially, politically, culturally, everything is so severe.
Yeah. I think we've lost the ability to debate.
I think people have forgotten that. I think social media has made people feel like their word is it.
Yeah. yeah.
There's no such thing as debate anymore.
Right, right.
What they think is absolutely set in stone, and if you're against them,
then F you.
Screw
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right. But I think we can get back there.
Right.
Because so many people, we're starting to almost see the feedback effect of that, where people are like, they're so tired of it.
Yeah.
They're getting away from Twitter and they're going to more like the lighter social medias like Instagram, like Snapchat, where it's a little more, it's a little more boisterous. It's a little more positive, you know? They're letting that venomous tirade that is Twitter kind of settle down.
Right.
And Facebook, for the most part, because they don't want to hear it. They don't want to feel it.
Yeah.
Now, I think people are a little more open to the fact of starting to talk. And that's what my book is really trying to do.
Yeah.
It is biting on both sides. I don't want conservatives to think that I'm just tearing into them because of the Cheeto.
Right.
But I also, you know, I don't also don't want the liberals to think that I'm just siding with them because right. they're all f***ed too.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I do apologize. This is going to turn into a dial tone. It's going to bam, 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 bam. It's SOS essentially, or SOL really. Yeah. Shit out of
well, love. You know, if you circle back to the reality, the social media stars and the reality show stars, it's kind of it's a reflection of society these
yeah.
days. It's like we need to get back to common sense, maybe.
You know, the funny nice. Thing is that this I never thought anything on this planet would make me. Yearn for the days of W. Are you kidding?
You ever see the memes where it's like, bet you miss me now?
Yep.
Oh, and it's you know, so right. I kind of do.
You know, say what you want about right. all of the poison politics, all the poison policies, all of that stuff.
Right. Right.
He was at least amiable.
Right.
He at least tried.
Right. Tried to smile, tried to be friendly, tried to, and he played the game.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. And you have to. And it was almost like the reaction that got Trump voted in, and first of all, everybody needs to let go of the fact that, like, this idea that it was a mandate.
Right.
He got in on the slickest, like,
yeah.
you got in on a wish,
yeah.
okay?
Right.
It's almost like you won a contest,
yeah.
Trump. Shut your mouth.
Yeah.
It was a reaction, a sad reaction yeah. to the fact of 8 years of our first black president.
Yeah.
People don't want to admit that.
Yeah.
But it is.
Well, you know, it's the old pendulum theory.
Yep.
They say things never swing back to the middle. If it gets too far to one side, it comes back
That's
hard
exactly
to
it.
The other
That's
side.
Exactly.
They never, things don't, you know.
So this book is trying to, you know, kind of throw some shade on both sides, but also sit in the middle and go, you know what? I get it.
Yeah.
I get why everyone's kind of shut in and closed up right now.
Right.
But we need to open back up because that's the only thing that's going to fight that rhetoric.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's going to override that noise and get us back to the point where we're looking at facts and not fiction. You know what I'm saying?
Well, thanks for my copy. I look forward to reading it.
Damn it. You know, I told you I got
the old ones here, but no, I'll pick it up for sure. August
8th. I see you got paperbacks too. Can afford to buy it the day it came out. No, you're cool, dude.
You
borrowed those.
Corey Taylor, Tooch, show him around Philadelphia. Show him a good time, yeah?
Huh? Yeah.
I don't think he has to go far to find a... Hold on, before we go,
I'll show
let's
you.
Get...
Yeah.
Oh boy, here we go.
Yeah.
Let's get we're recommending cheesesteaks to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I have obviously went to Pat's because that's my go-to.
Okay.
Campos was talked about.
Good.
What was the other one?
Well, what I was saying, Gems on South Street.
Gems.
Man. That's
Gems
my
on
favorite.
South. That's
if you want chicken, you go to Ishka Bibbles.
Yeah.
Gives you tight.
Gems on South, I think, is the best. But if you head up to is it Henry or Ridge where what's that? Chubby's and Del Sandro's, is that the two really good places there too? Yeah.
Well, if you want to go real deep, there's a spot in Sharon Hill.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the name of it for the life of me right now. But if you live in the Sharon Hill area, you know the spot.
If you can hit us up on the Tojitas.
The South Philly Taco, is this Lorenzo's and a Jim's? You got to so if you go to South Street, right?
Yeah.
Stop by Lorenzo's. That's that slice of pizza. It's big as your friggin' head.
Oh.
You know, it's like huge.
The size of your torso.
They put it on two paper plates. It's that big. Right?
Good God.
Then you go across the street to Jim's and you buy a.
And you blood.
You will.
Fantastic.
And then you wrap the. It's a South Philly taco. You wrap the cheesesteak in Lorenzo's pizza.
Oh, you. And fucking fat asses, you're killing me.
Oh, yeah.
I am so into that.
It's good.
You tell me a place where I can take that and deep fry it and we're. Yeah. Doing it now. The American dream.
Stone Sour at the BB&T tonight. Get out and see him live, all right? Thanks, gents. Appreciate it.
That'll be awesome.